All right, here we go. John Kaiser doing the theme song there.
He was great last week.
What'd you think, huh?
I thought he was awesome.
Did you check out YouTube? He got, like, tons of comments. Everybody liked it.
Everybody liked it.
Nice.
Plus, he was just a cool guy.
He's a good guy, and apparently his concert last weekend, he was a Friday and Saturday night, did great, so good deal. So, okay, that's enough, John. Thanks.
You didn't go.
I was out of town. I was, But, you know, I was in Texas on Saturday at something.
At something?
Yeah.
Something really cool?
No, something unpleasant.
Oh.
And but there were a couple of people there that I knew from way back who came up to me and said, "Hey, I've been listening to the show." And I said, "Wait a minute, I haven't talked to you in, like, you know, 10, 15 years." And so, but they'd got it through. It's just kind of the magic of the internet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The people starts going around, someone, you know. So that was pretty cool. And
very cool.
Both great guys and classic Texans, classic Aggies. And I could tell you some stories. We had a big night one night at the Donnie Anderson Red Raider Inn in Lubbock, Texas. Culminating in everyone having to scatter.
Mm-hmm. Was there a shotgun blast that accompanied?
Well, you know what happened? I won't go into the details because I shouldn't, being a former attorney general. Probably wouldn't be good. But there was a lot of hijinks going on. Let's put it that way. These guys like to drink Everclear. I don't know if you ever had Everclear, but it's like 190 proof, right? And so anyway, some female was supposed to be doing some dancing, I guess.
Was a pole involved?
Well, they had no pole. It was a Donnie Anderson Red Raider Inn. It was in, like, in a suite. It was a bachelor party thing, and someone didn't have anything to play the music on, and so someone didn't want to dance, and so these guys so it was kind of like a little scene, and I'm like, okay, this is not good. And I swear to God, it was an absolute classic. It wasn't one of the guys I was just with, but another guy who was, you know, pretty tanked up. Goes, "You want music? You want music? I'll get you music." And he walked out of the room, stormed out of the room, and we thought, oh, okay, there he goes. And about 2 minutes later,
drove his truck in.
Drove his truck through the door.
Right, that's right.
All right.
Through the door.
Saw that coming.
That's not good.
I think that's a reality show.
Yeah. And he cranks up the country music loud and goes, "There's your music now, dance." And everybody went, "Holy shit, let's get out of here."
Time to close.
Because literally, I mean, the door is all messed up, you know. So no, back that out. And like, oh my God, anyway. So we all, you know, we did the right thing, though. We ran, literally ran.
Scatter.
Yeah, for a couple of hours. It was not pretty. Anyway, these are the guys I was back with. They're really good guys and fun guys. Okay, in the house, we have Mark Lewis. Yeah. Legendary broadcaster.
Legendary?
No,
that means
absolutely.
I'm old.
No. You're not old.
You're in good company, by the way.
Glad you're here. And Steve Klassen joining us here, subbing for Mark Cordes, who has a gig, apparently.
He has a gig. Does that mean I have to be funny and I have to
tell
jokes?
Yes, you do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good. I wrote some material.
Did you? Oh, God. What do you think, Karen? Save it?
Yeah, hold.
Yeah.
We'll let you know when we need that.
Yeah, when we need
Mark
something.
Will be back next week, so yeah.
Okay, all right. And he took Woody Woodpecker here. His idea was that anyone going out of town would take it, and then we'll put pictures of Woody wherever
good.
Woody happened to, you know, strange travels. Place that
right.
Woody ended up. And so
where
I don't know.
Where did he
I don't
get
know.
A Woody?
We didn't get the pictures because he's not here, so the whole thing bombed. But next week, so don't look at the don't look on the website for that because it won't be there because I don't know why. So anyway, Mark, I know you're doing all sorts of stuff now and kind of involved a little bit in the movie business. And I know that your offices, besides being here in Phoenix, I visited your offices over at KTLA, and it's the old Gene Autry offices
there
in Hollywood.
Jack Warner and Gene Autry.
Very cool.
It's kind of like Southern Plantation.
It's neat.
Terra, the front. Yeah, it's very nice. We're very excited. Entertainment development. We're trying to develop an action adventure television series with the New York Times best-selling author. So,
Can we say who that is or no?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if you say who it is.
You can't. Yeah, but you know who would be good. I don't know
who might it be?
Like Clive Cussler.
That'd be great.
That guy's fantastic.
He could be real. I mean,
if you could do that, that would be great. So that you might want to look into that.
Actually, I think he lives here in town, doesn't he?
Ooh.
He might live here in town.
I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'll get his Twitter handle from you guys after we
leave. You can Twitter him. I'm sure he Twitters.
I got to tell you guys how I met Grant.
Okay, how did...
I met Grant years and years and years ago, back when the Conestoga wagons were coming across the plains, mm-hmm. when Marlene was just 4 years old and he was courting her down at Channel 12.
Courting.
He came and sat in the studio.
Not what we were doing.
Every weekend he would sit...
Did I?
Oh, yeah. You'd come and sit in the studio. Weak. Good little boy. And... And the,
desperate.
The weekend that I met, oh, wow. I didn't say that, Marlene.
Wow.
Grant said it. But the weekend you came in, Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson. I'll never forget that.
Wow, that's right.
So that was a long time
ago.
That's
how old we are.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, none of us had any money on Buster Douglas, by the way.
No, how did that even happen? I mean, that was nuts.
I think it was Mike's heroin.
Oh, yeah, you know, he was a little... At least in those days, he was a little erratic. You know, of course, he hasn't been that way for quite a while.
But. Yeah, he's a real stable.
Settled fellow.
He's a stable guy now. Okay, yeah. Well, I didn't recall that Buster Douglas fight, but anyway.
Neither did Mike.
That's right, poor guy. We actually sat next to him at our friend of the show, Charles Barkley. When Charles, when they put his name or jersey or whatever they do up at the arena, he had a little thing in a suite, and he invited us, so we went. And our daughter, we had just got our daughter from Guatemala, and she was, 6 months. So, and then she was 6, 7, 8 months, something like that. And I wanted to see the game. Everyone else was just goofing around, and eating and drinking and stuff. I said, hey, well, as long as we're here, there's a game going on, might as well go look. So I sat down, and I sat next with the baby, and I sat next to Mike Tyson, unbeknownst to me. Yeah, and Marlene came up and goes, get the baby away from me.
were you protecting your ears?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know. I was like, what is he going to do?
Probably
and she's like,
her.
She's freaked out. Like, oh, no, that's not right. Get that baby away from him.
Was that pre or post face tattoo?
Yeah, well, he had the tattoo. Oh, yeah, okay.
He's had that tat for a long
But you know time. What? He's a very nice guy, I thought. And I know Charles thinks so. He's, he's kind of sad.
Well, he's very knowledgeable. I mean, he mm-hmm. knows the fight game. He's a historian. Oh. He's a Jekyll and Hyde guy, really.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's unfortunate. And he was totally manipulated by mm-hmm. King and his machine.
Right.
When he lost his mentor, he was done.
Yeah.
When Gus was gone,
right.
He was gone.
Right. He needed some heavy guidance.
Structure.
Yeah, he needed structure in his life and all that. And so, hopefully he'll get his act together. Was he trying to come back? Did I see that?
I hope not.
Yeah, me too, but I think I did see that.
That's a
well, these boxers, they never give up.
Oh, I know.
Because they can go get a one-night payday, and there go all the bills, and now you're back,
Just like the wrestler.
Just like the wrestler. I mean, exactly. And they literally risk their life doing it because... You can only take so many blows to the head.
But I think boxing is really hurting right now because most people watch it on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And with the economy the way it is, people are not shelling out $69.95 to watch a fight anymore.
To watch some no-names.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows them anymore, but... Wow. Well, anyway. Okay. Any big news from the weekend? I that was my only news, is going to Texas and seeing some of the guys, and I was very excited they were following the show. That was pretty cool.
I'm trying to remember the weekend.
Oh, God. The Lost
really,
Weekend.
It's only Tuesday, right?
Ray Milland, The Lost Weekend.
No, we just... We
what
had
was
our
his problem in that movie? Oh, booze.
That could be the problem.
Sorry.
We had our first t-ball game yesterday, which is why we could not meet yesterday at 5 o'clock.
And
I know you guys laugh.
Yes, we do.
But I swear to God.
Don't tell me your kid was great, because that's...
The kid
that's
was
really not. It's really not about that.
No,
it's really
not.
About the fact that
you
they're
keep score?
4 and 5. No, hell no.
That always pissed me off.
Did the parents get into a fight? Tell
score.
Us that.
This is the best part. My husband is managing the t-ball team.
He could
which
do
is
that.
A, it's a little. It's a little bit removed from the Diamondbacks, but not a lot. They're 4 and 5. There's a payroll of nothing, and I had to beg for the hats. But other than that, we're out there, and we played the Cal Golden Bears, and my girlfriend's husband's coaching the team. So, giant grudge match. Husband's having the kids run around. There's jumping jacks. There's calisthenics.
Oh, God.
And Rich is going, oh, my God, they're organized. They're going to kick our ass, right? All right, so huddle, huddle, huddle. We're the Texas Longhorns. All right, Longhorns, we don't need any of this crap, do we? Coach, crap is a bad word. That's right. That's right. Okay, we don't need stupid jumping jacks. Stupid's a bad word. He's like, all right, let's go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we kicked some ass. It was fantastic.
Score.
If we had kept score, we would have won.
I hated t-ball
great.
So much. Hated
great.
T-ball. It is the... I because you know I love baseball, and we're going to talk to Derek Hall here in a little bit about the Diamondbacks, which are opening up here this week, later in the week. But T-ball sucks. I mean, honestly, it is so friggin' stupid. It has nothing to do with baseball. The ball goes out, and every kid on there, like ants to a crumb.
That's right.
They surround the ball, and some chaos ensues, and then that's it. You know, it's absolutely a ludicrous thing. Oh,
it's great.
I hate that. And a lot of people, I would think, a lot of kids right there learn to hate baseball because they think that's baseball, and it's not. Now, I will tell you, I went to, I can't mention, Randy Johnson's kid is on my kid's baseball team because they go to the same school. And so I won't mention anything particular about it. But there's a thing at that age, when you're at Little League age, eighth grade, ninth grade, and then it stops. There is a play that dominates most games. Okay, and if you're a coach, you have to really understand this play. Okay, I've coached my whole life at that age, minors and majors and little league and stuff. And the play is the pass ball. The pass ball and then the ricochet, the carom off of the backstop.
That's right.
Where that ball goes, people are circling the bases. It could go right back to you, and then you can throw the guy out or it goes flying, and then you get a couple extra bases. I mean, pitch after pitch to the backstop. So my middle son, Cole, he caught one year, and so he hadn't really focused on catching. So we go to the Diamondback game. He'd been catching for a month, and it's a nightmare back there. I mean, it really is. You're chasing balls like crazy, horrible. And so, I mean, it's a nightmare, especially if you got to, you know, most of the pitchers aren't too good.
That's why they call them the tools of ignorance.
Yes, it is the tools of ignorance. So we go to the Diamondback game. I said, okay, watch the catcher. I mean, this is your position. You're playing now. And just, you know, get some tips there. And he watches it, and after a couple of innings, I said, what do you think? He goes, jeez, that could not be easier. Can you believe those guys?
Oh, my God.
They put up the mitt, and it goes right into the mitt.
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
They haven't had that play off the backstop
yet. Yeah, he's
yet.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing to it, really.
But it's so weird that you would have a play in a sport that dominates the game for a few years and then is never really seen again. I think that's weird.
True.
Yeah. But that's it.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, but it was so funny.
But catching is easy.
Catching is easy.
It's I mean,
you
a
put
piece
it up,
of cake.
Maybe you move it an inch here, maybe a foot.
And other than that, there's nothing to do.
You don't do anything because these guys got it made. I can be a catcher in the major leagues.
Yeah, you can.
What do you think?
I thought you were going to tell me it was like that Seinfeld episode with Bette Midler and George Costanza at the plate when she was there and he knocks her out.
Bette Midler. I don't remember that one.
Don't remember
the
that
Bette
one.
Midler episode?
He's this guy. Clausen knows every
trivia.
Line.
No.
The
improv was playing Rochelle. And Bette Midler was the star of Rochelle. She gets up there to the plate.
I didn't know that. No, yeah. And it was like a celebrity game or
in
something?
In a celebrity game,
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And all this thing. And when George is rounding 30, he comes and he knocks Bette Midler out. So he knocks her out of the play, Rochelle. And it's a great episode.
I just remember the one where she came and wore the Baltimore Orioles hat in the Yankees box.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best one.
That was Elaine Benes that did that.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, enough. Yeah. Do not even bring
they
it up.
They look a lot alike.
Sorry, that was actually an episode that,
Okay, don't even bring it up. Okay, we're going to try to get Heidi on the line here. Oh, there she is. Heidi Heidkamp.
Do you really think you could be a catcher in the major league?
Come on, girl.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard on radio.
Yes, absolutely. Ms. Heidkamp, for those of you who don't know her legendary career, she was the attorney general from the great state of North Dakota for a long time. And just did an absolutely tremendous job. And she kind of helped wreck my reputation a little bit. I had a stellar reputation in the group as one who was kind of nose to the grindstone.
Whatever.
All business.
Yeah.
And
that's the way he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Heidi came along and would act up all the time. And so people started to, you know, think I was a little bit goofy. Which, you know,
it's totally uncalled for.
No, it's not true. So, and then she has some weird issues that we'll have to talk about that she always wanted to talk about. But she's a true North Dakotan. Is that what that is?
Well, it is.
A North Dakotan?
Yeah.
And you had that little Fargo accent before the movie, right? Did that freak you out when that movie came out and everybody started talking like that?
Well,
as a joke?
It did because, you know, like, we don't think we talk like that. But then everybody's kind of going, no, you really do. And you go, no, no, it's, we don't sound like that. They go, no, really?
You no, you do.
You know, oh, yeah, you do. Well, you can put it on a little bit, you know.
Yeah, you could do it a little
yeah.
bit.
You, but we like to keep her down just a little bit. And you haven't heard people on this flood when you're interviewing. They don't sound like the people from Fargo, right?
No, not really. So that's a little bit of a...
And they are people from Fargo.
Yeah, they are. And
there you go.
But hey, Fargo, also, since you were head of law enforcement there for the whole state, mm-hmm. you were was your crew pretty much like that law enforcement crew in Fargo in the movie?
Oh.
No, they no? were not.
No?
No,
kidding.
They were hyper-professionals, you know?
Oh, God. Okay.
I know.
You said the right thing. Yeah, me too. Mine too. Yeah, everyone in Arizona, first
yeah,
rate.
Grant,
down here
I just
on the
want to point
side.
Out how you were saying I led you astray.
Yes.
Have you told all these people who listen to you now about the kind of ID you used to get into the White House?
No, I can't remember that, though.
Yeah,
I don't think
yeah.
that's true.
That's convenient, kind of not remembering.
What are you remembering? Because I can dispel that
I remember
rumor.
You pulled out the Elvis ID.
We did.
The White House.
Yeah, that wasn't good. That was probably a bad move.
probably.
Created a little bit of a commotion. Well, you know.
it was pre-9/11, so there was at least a few chuckles.
We had to go over there because Clinton wanted to talk about, the president wanted to talk about our... some of our negotiations on tobacco, and so we were kind of in a hurry and probably wasn't the best time, but for some reason, it'd been a long day, right? So, you know, I just gave them my Elvis Presley driver's license I got at Graceland.
Born in Memphis.
And they, it took quite
chaos.
A delay. But I thought Clinton would like that, would appreciate that, but apparently it hadn't got that
probably didn't get to
guard
him.
Level. You know what happened, though? I had to get out of there later. And like the next day, I got running to a flight, literally, and they were like, go, you know, show us the ID, like on the run because they're closing the doors of the plane. And I, like, again, not the right time, but I gave them that Elvis ID again, and they went, okay, fine.
Great. So. Like you said, pre-9/11.
Yeah. Airline was fine. The White House wasn't so good. Well, tell us about, you know, this great Red River. Now, I've been reading about the Red River a little bit, and maybe this is a myth, but let me tell you what I read, and it was really bizarre to me, and that is that it's very, one, it's loved. It's greatly loved by hydrologists, and that's kind of odd. And one reason is because it's very complicated to be able to predict floods on the Red River because it is basically nothing about your state because it's a lovely state. It really is. It's a destination state, but apparently it's very flat around there. And they said it's so flat that imagine that if you were going to have the end of the Red River that is elevated, you slid a piece of paper under a sheet of plywood. That's how elevated it is. So it's basically barely moving is kind of what they were doing. And
yeah,
so they can't predict when it's going to flood because... there's, you know, there's really no elevation there. Is that true, or what's it?
Well, it's absolutely true. I mean, and in all seriousness, where I grew up, which was right in the valley, the southern part of the valley, some of the richest farmland in the world, I mean, even richer than the Fertile Triangle in Russia. And when you stood on the section line and you looked down and you saw the telephone poles kind of curve into the horizon,
mm-hmm.
That's the curvature of the Earth.
Seriously,
that's how. But the geologically, what the Red River Basin is it's the old bed of Lake Agassiz, which was a glacial lake that receded and became Lake Winnipeg,
mm-hmm.
and it obviously was much broader, left a lot of great sediment, which makes it great farmland. But it's incredibly flat, and if these levees breach and the water goes out, it literally goes for miles.
Wow.
I mean,
yeah,
one foot in elevation makes a huge difference in the Red River Valley.
So
and that's why it's so dangerous.
That's why everybody was freaking out. Was it wouldn't be just a normal situation. It would be pretty catastrophic.
Yeah, and compare that to the Missouri River, which is the side of the state that I live on now. There's enough change in elevation. You can have 4 or 5 feet rise in the river without, you know, really taking on a lot of land.
Yeah.
Because it'll continue to go up as opposed to out.
Did everybody follow along on that? Because I think that was quite a fascinating lesson there. You know, the one of the former attorneys general from Arizona, Bruce Babbitt, is a geologist. So, you know, you and he have something in common.
No, but Bruce Babbitt and I never really had much in common.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you support him? You support him when he was Secretary of Interior?
Did you have any beefs?
He would just never do what I wanted him to do.
Oh. He was no Gail Norton, let's put it that way. Oh, sorry.
Or Kemp Thorne, the most recent one?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, I want you to, another subject I wanted to mention was, we have lots of Indian reservations here in Arizona, and I guess one of the main things that I remember Heidi working on
really happened. I think that, you know, we had a woman here who was like, they'll have to call somebody out to get my investigators. They're just, it's you know, you have institutional longevity, respect the tribal governments. I don't know if you were there, Grant, the obligation.
It's nibbling on a mesquite tree, you know, little piece of stone initially.
Well, you know, my husband, after this woman...
Arizona, four or five come into North Dakota a year.
Yeah. We've had four...
Too many people now, and California's all screwed up, and Florida's a bunch of old people. I think North Dakota, I think your day is coming.
Actually, I saw a story on CNN here a week or two ago dealing with the economy, and I believe it was Fargo, not Bismarck, where Fargo was actually surviving this economic downturn pretty well. There was construction going up, and things were hanging in there.
It's like the guy who, you know, he had $1 million. And he lost $950,000. So like a guy who had a nickel and lost a penny, he's still got 4 cents. It's still not good.
Oh, Rand.
Heidi.
Wow.
Rand.
What is the main thing you do in Fargo? I mean, I know you're not there, but like if we moved to Fargo, what would we do on the weekend?
On the weekend?
Mm-hmm. You got the Fargo Dome, right?
You go to the lake in Minnesota.
Wow.
That's right on the border, obviously, on the Red River.
Hey, is Norm Coleman trying to cross the border there from Minnesota into North Dakota?
You guys, well.
To get a Senate seat somewhere?
We aren't even going to. We at least have two senators, unlike our neighbor to the east. But, you know, we have the Red Hawks, which is I don't think they're AAA, but they play some pretty good, you know, minor league baseball.
That's fun to do. I would do that for sure.
Well, you guys are. You also made national news here because North Dakota State University made the NCAA March Madness tournament.
Wow.
That's right. And they played and lost to Kansas and them a pretty darn good fight.
And it was a very impressive turnout there in North Dakota when they were announced for the tournament because there were like 10,000 people it looked like in this gym that cheered on. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so you could,
this is our first kind of foray into Division I basketball. Yeah. The University of North Dakota has Division I hockey. Always has had Division I hockey and has been a hockey powerhouse for years, as you might imagine, being close to.
So
Canada.
We could go to the hockey game. We could go maybe if it's basketball season to the basketball. We could go to a lake in Minnesota. And lastly, what about cow tipping?
Guys,
people still do that on Saturday night.
You come out here, Grant. I'll take you snipe hunting in the cemetery.
Oh, great. All right, Heidi, we're going to let you go. I appreciate you you talking with us, and maybe you'll come on again sometime.
Well, give me a holler.
Okay, it's a deal. Heidi Heitkamp, thank you very much. Pride of North Dakota.
Easily.
Isn't she great? She's awesome.
She was fantastic.
Have you ever been to North Dakota? I haven't.
Can't remember. I think
you've been to South Dakota.
I've been to South.
Mount Rushmore. Mark, how about you?
Very memorable.
No, I have not.
Yeah, we got to go. We got to go visit Heidi.
Let's go.
Let's get to Winnebago.
And just to give you a visual image, Heidi has bright red hair.
Yes, she does.
Okay, and she just did not take shit from anybody.
That's right.
You know, to be elected in North Dakota, you know, a woman head of law enforcement as AG. It was fantastic, and she was very vocal, and you know, like
she had two terms.
Yeah, she ran for governor, and she had. It was going to be a very close race. It was a close race, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer during the campaign.
That's a bummer.
To have chemo, lost her hair, the whole bit. So it was just the campaign was just
That's a
mess. And she, you know, she still did very well. It just kind of wrecked the whole thing.
Put
but she's fully recovered now, and. Just doing great.
Doesn't take that many votes to win in North Dakota because there's less than 1 million people, I think, like 800,000 people.
Big state, though, geographically. So
huge state.
And difficult to travel.
Yeah.
You know, it's especially in the winter, it's not a lot of fun.
But $100 will buy you about 20 commercials in all the media
books.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. That's not so bad.
Bismarck, Fargo, name another city in North Dakota.
No. That's plenty.
Grand Forks, right? Grand Forks.
I have no idea. I did.
Well, what about Pierre? Is that South Dakota?
That's South Dakota. Dakota. Oh, okay. That'd be the capital. Sorry. South Dakota.
I'm not smarter than a third grader.
Yeah, that's right.
Shoot.
Okay, let's take a break here. We'll come back and we'll talk to Derek Hall. Carrie was going to go shake hands with Dwight Yoakam. I don't know if that whole thing works with a woman. Because I think shaking hands is it's like a male thing as far as going to the bathroom. But to show you how
sit down with Dwight.
Yes, no, it does not. You're gonna come up with something else.
Sorry,
but Derek Hall is such an important guy here.
We
that
stayed.
Carrie's eyes are watering. She's squirming around in her seat, but
that's
she
enough.
Decided to stay for this. So, Derek, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thanks, Derek.
Hey, good to be here.
Now you're a radio guy here. You've done this thing yourself, I understand.
You know, I did such a good job that I did it for about a year, and I couldn't wait to get me off the air, and that's all it lasted.
Let's get you a job in baseball, son.
I definitely had the face for radio. That's
yeah, well, you know, we all got that here, except for Mark Lewis here. Mark's joining
good
us.
Looking.
Yeah,
Mark is a good-looking man.
Ooh, well, that's
not afraid to say that.
Derek,
hey.
Don't
You're
tell
not?
People. Nobody's supposed to know.
Okay.
Well, it's our secret.
That's fine. That's
not
fine.
That there's anything wrong with
yeah.
that.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
That's a great Seinfeld episode, right?
Now, hey, Derek, I checked out, I got my tickets in the mail, and I checked out the schedule, and pretty much every night in April, I'm going to have to go. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I counted, and it doesn't start until you count the preseason games on Friday. I counted 24 games in April.
Yeah, you know, we've got a very busy schedule. We have 18 of 21 games at home in that first month, and then with the exhibition games, you're right, that goes up.
20.
So we've got to come out of the gates in a hurry and make sure that we have a good first month because it's incredible how many home games. What a tough month for the grounds crew. I mean, think about that. And on top of that, they have high school games after our games. You know, some of the day games are followed by high school games. So they've basically got like 30 games in the month of April to try and keep that stadium looking as good as they always have it look.
But the turf is fresh, so that's good news.
You got that right, Kerry.
We got to get off to a good start, that's for sure. Okay, now you want to hear all my beefs here? I've got many here. I want to listen for you here.
Yep. Are you sitting down?
No, sorry, Derek.
No, we'll get to first before we get to the players here. I heard a rumor, and I don't know if this is true or not, that you are going to allow food into the stadium now. Is that true or not true?
Yeah, well, we always have, but now
like
we're
a banana or something.
No, no. Now we're just publicizing it a little more, but with the economic conditions.
Well, what can we bring in? Can I bring in a sandwich or no?
Yeah, absolutely. You
really?
Can bring in food, and you can bring in non-carbonated water. You can bring it in, whether it's in a lunch bag or in a soft cooler, as long as it's one of the smaller soft coolers. Yeah, absolutely.
Like a small soft cooler.
Now you have a beef with that?
No, I like that. I have a beef with the food there. I mean, nothing personal, but it sucks. I mean, we got anybody new coming in
We do. We have Subway this year.
Subway.
We have
what
Subway.
Did we have last time? Blimpies?
We ended up, we had Blimpy before, but we have, with some of our Fat Burger is there. Gordon Ooh. Pierce is there.
Now, Fat Burger I like.
That's
actually good. That's good.
Panda Express. No,
it didn't do it for me. I was very excited about Panda Express, and I had it once. You know, I got it like 70 games, and I had it once, if that tells you anything about Panda Express.
Give it another try.
No way.
They're far away. They're far away from Grant's seats.
No, they're not.
That's the problem.
No,
Grant, you're not going to walk around the car.
Oh, yeah, it is far away.
It's very far.
No, but I walk for a Fat Burger.
Yeah.
So that says something there. Anyone else? Please, God. Is that it? Same people?
Same folks. Mm. They do a nice job, and then we've got Subway this year. But we do have some healthy alternatives, and we've got gluten-free food this year.
What's that?
We've got, there's a lot
Doesn't
of people
sound
that,
good.
There's
that,
no it, wheat products in
there. Oh, gluten-free.
In case you're allergic.
Oh, really? Well,
gluten-free.
That's key.
Gluten-free. We've got...
I'm glad you're doing that, because almost everything else that's served has like 9,000 calories, so...
He doesn't
be gluten-free.
Mean it. He doesn't mean it. Do you guys still
I
have
do
Hungry
mean it.
Do you guys still have Hungry Hill down there on
We
the,
do. We have okay. Hungry Hill.
That's
we got the big dog stands, which is really I'm
People
with you.
Do
Hungry
like
Hill's
that.
Fantastic.
That's
People
fantastic.
Do like that.
The
Everyone
meatball
raves
sandwich
about that.
And the shaved beef. That's
I'm just
awesome.
Saying, here's the problem. You go, if you go to a game and like, Sorry. You know, like you now showing up, you know, once a month.
Sorry.
Okay. But if you're like me, a real fan, and you go like night after night after night, You can't eat that shit all the time. Oh. I mean, it's absolutely grim.
Carrie's there more frequently.
No,
but we, you know, we do have, we've got turkey burgers now. We've got grilled chicken.
Whoa. Turkey burger where?
You can get it at, actually, at Gordon Beer's. And you can get it at NC Dining. It's really good.
Oh, you can get an NC Dining?
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Oh, you had something last year, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Sloppy Joe, like on a hot dog thing.
Yeah, they've changed that.
Oh, God. You,
that wasn't the most popular item on that list.
I'm telling you. Did anyone, in 81 games, did anyone order that twice?
No, exactly. I think everybody tried it once, and that was it.
It sounded good. No, that thing is horrible. Okay, speaking of grim, things coming back. What about Tony Clark? What the hell?
Oh, my God.
Why is he back?
Derek,
he,
just for the record, I had no idea. I am sorry.
Well, I paid my money.
Tony, you know, Tony is...
I paid the big bucks here. I get to ask some
Tony's
questions.
He's a good compliment to the team. He's a leader in the clubhouse.
Oh,
he's
great.
A good
Keep him in the clubhouse.
Off the bench.
Keep him in the clubhouse.
That's very worthwhile, by the way. You've
it
never
is.
Actually been in the clubhouse.
No, I'm all for
Grant,
having him in the clubhouse.
Yeah,
I want him in the clubhouse, not at bat.
Stop it. Hey, and Grant, he's a very good defensive first baseman. He is.
Great.
When he comes in late in games, he's going to be a good defender for you.
Okay, don't let him bat, honest to God. Seriously. No pinch hitting then, okay? You just said defense, okay? I'm all for that.
You want his left-handed bat. Now, he may admit
to
you he has trouble from the right side.
A guy from the right side can make it out, just like he can make it out.
Along.
The guy is overdone. Okay, next. You know, here's what I was really excited about. Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there in the free agent market. You know, so I sent in my money, right? You know, big bucks. It's expensive as hell. I did it. I was very happy. Looking forward to the new season. And I said, okay, who did we get here? And we got Felipe Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
I was very excited. Felipe Lopez? That's
so let's talk about Felipe Lopez.
That's it?
Let's talk about Felipe.
Okay.
For the end of last year, when he went to St. Louis after the trade, he had the second best batting average in all of baseball behind who? Manny Ramirez.
Okay.
So Felipe is, and he just played in the World Baseball Classic. Yeah. Was phenomenal. He's happy to be here. You'll like Felipe.
You know what? I
and
hope
don't forget
for
you got John Garland.
No, that was a good one. I like Garland.
Yeah, you got Joan Weiss, who's effective against lefties.
Who was the last one?
Joan Weiss.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but Felipe.
Grant,
but
you're going to like him.
You're rolling the dice on Felipe. Why didn't we sign Hudson?
We wanted Hudson. We went to him in the middle of the season last year before he got hurt. We went to Hudson and said, what's it going to take? And he just wanted to test himself on the free agent market. And, knowing now, he wished he had taken what we offered, but we offered him a nice contract.
Yes.
Really?
He does wish.
Well, how much more did he get?
He didn't get more.
That's why he wishes.
Felipe Lopez calling you, Greg.
Yeah. We heard the Halloween theme.
he's sending a text page. It's got a big finger on it.
No.
That's
no.
right.
Carrie's getting very defensive here. But
I am. I got my back up a little bit.
Okay, well.
Sorry, babe.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm putting that down as a huge mistake, though, not keeping Hudson.
Oh,
and the fact
God.
That he went to the Dodgers.
But Grant, we tried.
Okay, now, okay, I got another one for you. Why don't we, Tony Clark, good guy,
uh-huh.
right? Can bat from the left-hand side.
We're keeping him in the clubhouse.
Okay, but you can bat on the left-hand side. Good guy, people like him, all that. Then why don't we get Luis Gonzalez?
Because the problem with our roster right now is we've already got a backlog. We've got a log jam in the outfield.
Yeah,
I mean, Eric Burns right now is our fourth outfielder.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, so believe me, it's I had
couldn't Louis play first?
Probably not, actually.
Well, wait, Tony's not our starting first base.
No, I know.
Come on.
I'm familiar with the lineup. I got it. So how's that going to work with Burns coming off the bench? That's crazy.
It's good. It pushes the kids. Like right now, Justin is having a hard time in spring. He's struggling, and he's very streaky.
Yeah.
And so he's having a tough go, and that just it lit a little fire under him because now
good.
Burns is playing so well.
Well, you got that option now, so.
It's nice.
You're going to have to figure out how long you stick
with
Upton. If
he's going to be a superstar.
I think he is, too. I like your whole outfit. I think it's great. Hey, what about
he really does, despite everything he said in the last 20 minutes.
No, I like it. I'll tell you what.
Loves it.
Here's what
he
I don't
so
like.
He is so up on you guys.
No, I know. Huge. I know exactly what I'm talking about here. I'm not a homer, though. I mean, if we...
You're not a homer?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a taxpayer here. So I'm a season ticket holder, so I get my beefs. I don't get the free tickets like Carrie, so... You know.
I don't either.
Brown
knows
them
for those
tickets.
Brown knows
them
for those tickets, though. Okay, so no power hitter, though.
Well,
that seems to be... So you think someone's going to break out here?
Well, you don't have the guy that's going to hit 40, 50 home runs, like, you know, which is why we went and got Adam Dunn, and that didn't work out last year for
him. You didn't like that. Were you one of the ones who thought he was a little disappointing? I wasn't.
No. I wouldn't say it was disappointing. It just didn't ignite the rest of the lineup. We've got eight, nine guys that can all hit over 20 home runs, and if they do that, that's fine. I would rather have eight guys that can hit 20 home runs and have one guy that could hit 40 and no one else that can bring in power. And so I think we've got a pretty good balanced lineup.
Okay, well now, what about Manny here? What are we going to do about him? Because that really hacks me off to have to watch that dude in a Dodger uniform. And he batted 600 against the Diamondbacks.
Against everybody at the end of last year. Yeah, I mean, he's a great player.
We just got to deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, he makes the division better. I know he's had hamstring problems, and Manny's Manny. I mean, he was, you know, playing for a contract last year.
Maybe he'll fold this year now that he's got his contract for 2 years.
I wouldn't wish that upon anybody, but
I would.
Upon him.
I would. I hope he gets hurt.
That'd
I don't care. I could care less. Pull a hammy Manny.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No, but seriously, Derek, you were a Dodger guy. What does that market think of him now that
he's their guy for real?
Yeah. But, I mean, do you think he's going to show up and you think he's going to be the real guy?
I don't know. You know, with 2 years, it may make a difference. When he was playing for the contract, I mean, obviously he played out of his mind. I mean, you know, when he was in Boston, we didn't see that. And all of a sudden he gets traded to the Dodgers with just a few months to impress, and he was a model citizen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a unique place. They've got some great players, but they have, they've got a lot of personalities over there. And we'll just have to see how the chemistry works out. And they lost a few players, too.
Yeah, they did.
You know, I'll be the first to tell you. I mean, Grant, going back to your point, O-Dog was great for this team. He's a good guy. He's fun to be around. He's great defensively. You know,
kids love him.
Our number three hitter. Kids love him. I mean, my daughter.
She's in love.
Yeah, in love with O-Dog.
That's right.
And, you know, but he fit perfectly with this team. Now he's over there. I think he helps the Dodgers because if they didn't have O-Dog, I'd question the chemistry. O-Dog, he can balance things out.
Well,
he can take like a Manny and make him a better guy.
Not only that, but you got rid of Kent, who's
kind of a
jackass.
Yeah, they lost some of the veterans that they claimed to have had problems with.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't surprise me they had problems with that guy, but you take him out and throw Hudson in. Yeah, that worries me. But, you know, yeah, I think you're right. We got a starting rotation that looks great on paper. They could have a phenomenal year. And you got, I don't see any holes in our team. We got, except maybe Felipe Lopez. I hope I'm with you. I hope he performs, but he's had a couple of really horrible years.
It depends on his mood. He's one of those players. If he's happy in his environment, which he seems to be right now, he'll perform.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. If you look at the difference.
What could we do to help?
Yeah. Well, you look at the difference. Well, don't talk like this about him, and it'll help there.
Okay. I'll invite him over. I will do anything.
Have a fatburger with him.
I will do anything he wants.
Yeah,
you're
right, though, Grant. We're built on pitching the way we are. Mm-hmm. It's our starting rotation, if we stay healthy, when you have Webb and Heron and Davis, and then you go to Garland and Scherzer, it's solid. I mean, people are questioning
it's really
the bullpen,
solid.
But, you know, we've got some great arms there, and with Tom Gordon now rehabbing and looking like he's on track to get with us in the next 3 to 4 weeks, that's going to help, too.
What about Qualls? You think he can get the job done?
I do. Yeah. You know, Qualls had a rough month last year, but before that and after that, he was lights out. He was unhittable.
I think, did you do his contract?
No.
Were you in charge of that?
No, I did not.
Did he, if he hits a certain milestone, get him a couple extra tattoos?
No, that's not Qualls. Qualls doesn't have the tattoos. You're thinking of John Roush.
Oh, that's Roush. That's right. Yeah. Sorry. Well, let me ask you about Qualls. Doesn't he have, that closer's mentality, doesn't he?
He does. He definitely does.
It's very intense.
Yeah, real intense. Nothing really shakes him. He comes out, he gets the ground ball when you need it for a double play. He's also a guy that can strike guys out. He's got a good makeup, real good mentality.
What's it going to be like when we face Randy as a Giant?
That's going to be interesting. You know, he was so motivated the first go around in spring when we went to the bats. He stuck the bats right up our rear end.
Oh, great!
Yeah, he's phenomenal. When he wants to show you up, he can do that. But
well, we could do. You know, it works both ways.
I don't think he pitches so well in San Francisco, though. What do you think?
For a guy who's got who's had back problems in the past, it's tough to pitch in a cold weather place.
Yeah,
a place that gets a little cooler at night. But he's Hall of Famer. He's unbelievable, and you never want to face him because you've always got a chance of facing the Randy of old.
Okay, now we got a couple more questions for you. Last week we debated on Curt Schilling, since he just retired, whether he belongs in the Hall of Fame or not. What's your vote?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. I mean, there's very few big game pitchers like him, and a guy that you could give the ball to in a postseason game and know that you're going to get the win. And you know, everything that he did for Arizona alone should make everyone here think that he should be a Hall of Famer. But he's he's one of those special players who I think, just looking at his win total alone and the fact that he dominated so much in the postseason, should get him there.
Hey, hi, I just had another idea for you. I know you're writing all these down. How about if we – I know we're loaded in the outfield here. We got one too many guys here. But let's say we have some injuries. That happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
It happened – you know, Burns has been injured before. Louis's not in baseball, is he?
He's not. He's looking for a job.
So and, maybe you could, you know, go get
still,
him then.
Yeah, and he still believes he can play. I mean, you know, he and I had a conversation. He had a lot of doubles last year for Florida,
yeah.
Came off the bench, understood his role, didn't mind being a backup, you know, outfielder. And, yeah, I think, you know, he was watching closely here because it's in his own backyard. And he was, if Burns had not come back, mm-hmm. and he still had a problem with a hamstring, as he had expressed, he would love to have, you know, jumped in the competition here. So, I mean, I think there's always a possibility for Gonzo, whether it's here or somewhere else, to get a job on the playing field before he hangs him up and works off the
field. So you'll keep your eye on him?
Yep, without a doubt.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, the fans would love it, obviously.
Yep.
And it, you know, it's one of those things that kind of just needs to be done, if it's at all possible, just to kind of bring that full circle, you know. And
even if there's no room for him on a roster and he knows that his playing days are done, he should retire with us, whether it's a sign and retire and then work for us. I mean,
he'd be great.
Yeah, that we all need.
You know, it's a real nice touch, Derek, having Bruce Cooper throw out the first pitch on the home opener.
Yeah,
I thought that was a class act. I talked to Coop quite a bit since that tragic boat accident. It really means a lot to him and Donna. So, you know, once again, I think that's kudos to you guys for having the ability to honor Marquise's memory.
Thanks, Mark. It's such a tragic story, and I think that, you know, fans and his viewers in general need closure too.
Yeah.
And that's just one more way that we can do it with a jam-packed house. It's going to be an emotional day, and he's going to have most of his family. In fact, we heard today he's going to have 12 people with him. And
is that on Monday?
Yeah, it's on Monday.
At the opener?
That's
okay. Well, I'm going to be there in my new job then, because my former favorite player was Steven Drew.
Yeah. Why not now?
Because now it's Felipe Lopez.
Oh, my God.
I knew you were calling.
I am on the Felipe Lopez bandwagon from this day forward. I'm going to be the guy yelling. If you can whisper in his ear, he can hear me. I'm going to be the guy making a lot of racket for Felipe.
Yeah, I will be the first to admit that you were right if it fails.
No, I want him to do great. I
know you do.
For Felipe.
Derek, in retrospect, I'm going to tell you this is going to be a little different kind of interview. Okay? That's all I have to say.
No,
and I just
you prepped me.
I'm going to go shake hands with Dwight Yoakam.
Okay,
now.
Not yet. Okay, hey, last question, Derek.
Yeah.
What Thursday night, tell us what's going on with the Diamondbacks Charities.
Yeah, it's our third annual Evening on the Diamond. We have Bill Cosby, who's going to be performing at the end of the night. We're giving our Community Lifetime Achievement Award to Bill Post of APS.
Very nice.
All of our players, all of our coaching staff are there. It's a great night. You know, we actually have the roof open. We literally have tables on the infield dirt.
Cool.
And the
That's
stage just at the start of the outfield, and it's a great evening.
All right. That's fantastic. Okay, good job. Well, tell the cause hi.
We will tell the cause.
And I'll be there cheering for you on Monday.
Perfect.
Go Felipe, go Diamondbacks.
Go Felipe.
Okay.
All right.
Derek, call.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Derek.
Hey, Derek. All right. Thanks. All right.
Jesus Christ, could you go easier?
What?
I mean, my God.
You are such a homer.
I am not a homer.
Isn't she? That was ludicrous.
I thought your previous favorite player was Umber DeSens.
Oh, God. Well, we have suffered through some real...
All right, that's crap. Season ticket holder. We're not... No.
Gee, no, it was great.
No, it was...
Yankees signed, like, 3 Hall of Fame pitchers, and we got Felipe Lopez.
I just,
but no problem. Right. I was really happy about that. Actually, Felipe Lopez... It, for 1 year was great, and then at the end of last year he was great. So he could be.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? I doubt it.
You put a player into a right situation, never know.
I'm glad he said that if he's happy, he plays well, because now there's hope. I mean, maybe he'll be happy and he'll play well. Now that's kind of odd to me. I mean, being
so you would play if you felt bad, you're going to play bad.
I mean, honestly, when you're getting paid all that money to play baseball,
come on.
And I'm upset. I don't feel wanted here. Of course, I played hoop today, and I was kind of pouting because a guy looked me off and didn't throw me the ball. So
you actually, of all people, should understand.
Felipe Lopez.
I'm feeling more and more one with Felipe. I am. Okay, seriously, I'm going to become his biggest fan. I love Felipe Lopez.
Until game two.
Is he leading off? Did I read that?
No.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ, I hate that. Right off the bat, out.
We're going to have to get you the T-shirt with the I Heart Felipe Lopez.
Can you get one? Okay, let's do it. All right, moving on to other things. Oh, the only other thing I want to mention about sports, since Mark is here.
The only other thing?
Yeah.
There's that one thing. Hey, thanks for coming.
Hey,
it's great.
No. Other than all this sports, because we're moving on to political issues. But we should acknowledge that Grady made first-team All-American. Grady from Sanford and Sons, a.k.a. James Harden from Arizona State. did that surprise you? I mean, five guys make it, and Harden made it.
I think the votes were in before the tournament.
Must have been.
Yeah. It had to have been.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Do you think you should go to the NBA?
No. I don't think so.
Wow. That was a grim performance.
Absolutely not.
No. I mean, I think, listen, prior to the tournament, absolutely. He was a top five pick.
Right.
But, you know, if you're just from a pragmatic standpoint, you come back and play well. I want him back because we're going
to
really be tough.
Too.
It's going to be the cupboard's going to be bare. Pentagraph's gone.
I know.
You know.
I know.
I mean,
remember the guys who were shooting the bricks? That's who's left.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not good.
Yeah, but in defense Ty Abbott actually came up in the play. I mean, he was horrible in the regular season. He couldn't throw it in the ocean.
Well, he was a head case or something. He just had it in his brain. You know, a shooter's got to shoot, and you got to have confidence.
Maybe he didn't feel liked.
I think he's pulling a Felipe. Now, here's the thing about Harden, though. If this is the dilemma. I mean, if you were advising a guy like James Harden or any of these athletes, but Harden, it's a particular tough case. Okay, if he's a lottery pick, I mean, that's a ton of money. He's an instant millionaire. Even though he needs some seasoning here, I would say you got to go.
Okay. I would think he would have to.
Because what if you get injured?
Right.
See, you get injured, then you're sky cap at at Sky Harbor. That's not good.
So well, I can
take
tell you
the money, man.
When I first came to town here, I was working out with Warren Anderson, who's got Athletes Performance downtown. Mm-hmm. He trains Donna McNabb, Mike Bibby, a lot of the big athletes. He had Icky Woods in there. He was working with Bruce Allen. And remember Icky Woods?
He stole that name from me.
The Icky
Shuffle.
That was my nickname in college.
Yeah.
That's
cousin,
a whole other story.
Yeah,
he is my
cousin. Your cousin
Icky? Yes.
Your grandfather's
cousin
side
from
of the
another
family.
Mother.
I will
exactly.
Say, the first time I met Bill Bedwell when he came to town, he told me a joke which even I won't repeat, and the punchline was Icky Woods, and you can imagine.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I can't even get into Bill Bedwell's stories. I sat in the commissary in St. Louis when he was making his decision whether or not he was going to come here. Jim Escobedo and I got sent out there to sit there for 2 weeks while he made up his mind. I heard every joke in the world. We all know. Yes. We don't want to go there. How do we get on this?
Oh.
I mean, we're talking about Harden.
So anyway, guys can get injured and then they're done. So, I mean.
Miles Simon?
Yeah, it happens. I mean, you remember way back in Arizona State history, a guy named Johnny Nash. You remember him? He was on the teams with Byron Scott and Sam Williams and Kurt Nempias and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Nash was a phenom. And he was the same age as Harden. He's a sophomore. And he went up. It was, I think, the most gruesome thing certainly in Arizona State hoop history. This guy was great. He's going to be an All-American, certainly a pro player. He went up I can't remember, rebound or something. He came down just funny, and his leg snapped in half, and the bone protruded the skin from the knee to the ankle, cracked in half, bone sticking out. Everyone in there just went, oh my God.
Man.
And so he was out for the season, came back, played okay, but
never
he was done.
Same.
No, not the same.
Well, back to Icky. See, Icky wouldn't buy the Lloyds of London insurance policy that they advocated. Said, Icky, you've got to buy it. Oh, no, man, I'm fine. So he bought two cars, three homes.
Mm-hmm.
The typical athletes lament. Next season, ACL, boom. He's selling Fuller Brush items in California.
Today?
No, this was 2 years later.
Oh,
it was a CNN package. So he was selling Fuller Brush door to door, doing the Icky Shuffle.
Whoa, and of all sports, football is the one where an injury is very
absolutely.
Likely. Hey, before we move
same with baseball, though. Like you're a pitcher, and you say, well, I need a little more time. You throw out your arm, you're done.
Right, but football, your shelf life is very, very short. You only have a couple of years
again,
on average.
But again, basketball, I have to say, if you're just looking out for James Harden, I think you got to go. I hope to God he doesn't because, you know, I'm for Arizona State first, you know. You know, another interesting thing, I just read a guy it was Mo Williams, who's now with the Cavs, and he thought he was supposed to be like a lottery choice or, you know, way high, and he went way down. One of the things he mentioned in this little thing I just read, he was really pissed he was picked after Marcus Banks. So it's very upsetting. Okay, so anyway, He made an interesting point. If you are a lottery pick, so you go very high or just a first-round pick, you are given 2 or 3 years to develop. So they say you're at this level, at this high level, and we're going to give you 2 or 3 years to develop. If you go lower, you've got to perform immediately or you're out of the league. That's kind of odd. I mean,
Mo was a journeyman there for a while until he stuck with Cleveland.
And, exactly.
And boy, in the All-Star game, he looked great, didn't he?
Yeah,
he really blossomed into kind of like...
He was giving credit to Jerry Sloan for kind of teaching him what it was all about. He learned a lot of new words, he said. Yeah, said the language.
They don't get any more rugged than Jerry. And there's a guy who's underrated, huh?
Absolutely.
One of the finest coaches in the history of the game. Been coach of the year.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
That's a joke. Did you have a...
Yeah, I was going to ask Mark a question. Mm-hmm. Make me either feel bad or feel really, really good.
Okay.
NCAA March Madness. How many do you still have left in your
nobody,
brackets?
Nobody. I'm done.
You have nobody?
I had Pittsburgh and Memphis in the finals.
Yeah.
Woo!
I had North Carolina in the final four.
Oh, okay.
But I had them losing in the semifinals. Oh, so.
See, I've got them winning it all.
That's North Carolina? Only
team. Yeah, that's the
only... You just copied Obama.
You know what? Obama and I actually had the exact matching Final Four.
That's shocking.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Brown noser.
But right now...
I can't believe that.
There's a lot of brown nosing going on in this.
What's your national title pick right now? I say Michigan State plays...
Now?
Yeah, I say Michigan State plays North Carolina.
Did you get stimulus money for your pool because you had the same picks as Obama did?
No,
we're going to give you the chance.
Steve's picks came out right after the White House released their picks.
How ironic is that?
Oh, yeah, that was a coincidence.
Bracket.
Okay, we're going to give you a chance here to weigh in on Obama here and the GM and Chrysler situation, and the president is abroad this week. But first, we have to grant the Woody. All right? Does that sound good? Okay. We need a drum roll, though. Can someone help? Because we're so cheap. We don't have one. Thank you very much. This week's Woody goes to Congressman Barney Frank.
Again?
No, first one for him. Oh. I would think that if you were as wrong as Congressman Barney Frank has been over the past few years, you might consider laying low for a while. Oh, wait, I forgot he's a politician. It's like the weatherman. They have no problem with being totally wrong day after day and yet coming back again to boldly tell us what's next. This week, Barney attacked Justice Antonin Scalia, calling him a homophobe. It's pretty serious for the chairman of a major House committee to publicly say that a member of the U.S. Supreme Court is a bigot. And it's completely unfair. Just because you disagree with someone on a civil rights issue doesn't mean you're a bigot. Scalia is not a bigot. I suspect he's actually what we could call a francophobe. Count me in on that. I have a strong fear of anything Barney Frank. This is the guy who pronounced Fannie and Freddie just fine all the way to their implosion. In fact, he played a major role in helping them implode by trying to force them to make subprime loans to poor credit buyers under the theory that everyone deserves to own their own home. Now, I think this guy should be run out of town for this. It has nothing to do with his own personal preference for Freddie's Fanny. I could care less where he sticks it as long as he keeps from sticking it to us taxpayers. Dear Barney, the justice is not a homophobe. He's probably not even a francophobe. Since this implies an irrational fear of you, I think it's actually a very legitimate fear. With you in charge of banking, we should all be very, very afraid. Look out, America. Barney Frank has got a Woody.
Are you at least going to wish Barney Frank a happy birthday? He just turned 69 this week.
69?
I'm serious. I read something.
That is so gross to even imagine.
Sort of a joke.
But I will say this. If Scalia were to react to it and he were to get upset, the thing Frank could tell him is the infamous Scalia quote, "Get over it," from that 60 Minutes
interview. Barney's got to go. I'm sorry. I can't handle the guy. But anyway, enough on Barney's Woody.
Would you ever have him on as a guest for an interview?
Sure.
He's a good interview.
Oh, yeah. I saw him. He and O'Reilly yelling at each other. It was quite entertaining
He's like a caricature of himself. Though.
Yeah.
You can't even watch him.
All of them are. Oh, I can't stand that guy. But again, I mean, wrong, 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 and wrong. And now still.
Hey, at least he's consistent.
He is consistently wrong.
Dumb
and of course, he's got to blame everything on Bush and all that, as if he had nothing to do with any of this. And then you roll the tape of him berating people from Fannie and Freddie. You've got to get more loans here. This is what it's all about. Now, what about, let's start with Mr. Claussen here.
Yes.
You're from Michigan.
I am from Michigan.
And in particular, you have a long history with the formerly great city of Flint.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you know all about this.
Birthplace of General Motors.
Okay. Now, this week, your hero, President Obama, announced some pretty tough love for GM and for Chrysler. And with GM, he said you had got to fire your CEO. He's out. And you've got like 60 days to come up with a brand new plan here. I want some models out. I don't want you making them anymore. These models, you know, the ones that are successful, you know, back to the drawing board. Come back with a realistic plan or you get no more money. Mm-hmm. With Chrysler, it was even more severe. He said, you are not going to get any more money unless you find a partner. You're going to have to go bankrupt.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, part of the reason why there are two different tracks on GM and Chrysler is GM is much bigger than Chrysler. Mm-hmm. If GM fails, that is a major, it's like an AIG failing.
It's not that bad.
GM, there is a lot of ripple effect to General Motors.
There's a ripple effect, there's no doubt, but I don't put it on that scale. But it's an interesting question that everyone's bending over backwards for the banking industry, make sure they don't fail, but GM still on the table that we could let them go. But by the way, what's wrong with them going bankrupt? Because that doesn't mean they're out of business. It means they can reorganize. They can get out of these ridiculous union contracts.
And that may be an option they have to consider. Mm-hmm. But, I remember back there, you know, we talk about the big three today. It wasn't that long ago, about 25 years ago, we had the big four. Mm-hmm. And there used to be a company called American Motors.
Romney.
You used to do the Pacer and the Gremlin and that type of thing.
Gee, I don't know how they went out.
The Rambler. We had a Rambler. Yeah.
But also
missed my Gremlin.
Yeah.
It's a good car.
Those are great.
But if you go back to that area, Chrysler, which was then the number three automaker and still is today, was run by a guy named Lee Iacocca.
Right.
Lee took a buck a year salary. He got that company turned around through a federal assistance program, a little bit different than what's happening today. As far as firing Wagner, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, GM has been mismanaged for a long time. And, it goes back, you talk about my days in Flint with, Michael Moore being from there and Roger and Me. Roger Smith, yeah.
Steve was in that movie. What was the name of the movie?
Roger and Me.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Where Michael Moore went around and he tried he crashed General Motors and all that. And Steve was actually in the movie.
Steve and
Bob Eubanks.
Steve
were in
and
the
Bob.
Movie.
No, I've known Michael for a long time. And he had asked me to be, he needed a radio reporter. So I did some voiceover work for him. And lo and behold, it made the movie.
And you were on.
You get
were
a residual
screen.
Check, Steve?
I'll send you the picture of me and Michael here. but in terms of GM, I've seen that town, Flint, go from where it was a great, proud city from the 1960s to where it is today, and it really is a shame. I mean, the city is decimated.
Yeah.
Because at the time I grew up, the old-timers back there still refer to all the auto plants by the names they used during World War II, like the tank plant and this type of thing. They built the things that helped defeat World War II. And in into the 60s and stuff, it really became a great place to work. The union was making progress, was getting good wages, good benefits. People from the South, that's the reason a lot of African Americans moved from the South to the North, because they could be treated equally. And
they certainly got good benefits.
Got good benefits. And Flint, to its credit, a lot of people don't know this, actually had the first African American mayor in the country in the mid-60s, which was unheard of in Floyd McCree. And I was friends with the
Well, Sons. One point you make that is worth considering that people don't talk about enough is that one difference here with a General Motors is, and I understand the ripple effect, and there is clearly a ripple effect to auto dealers and auto parts and all these sort of things. I don't know. I still don't understand why bankruptcy isn't a good option for them, because, again, that's not out of business. It's just reorganization.
Right.
However, another thing that you have to consider is what you alluded to there, and that is, as a matter of national security, you do need to have a strong manufacturing base.
Absolutely.
So that if we have to switch over at any point in time and start making other things, tanks and other
GM's
things,
the perfect option for that.
Yeah, it is. So that I think that's a point in their favor of why they're different than than others. Chrysler seems to be a lost cause to me.
I think Chrysler's gone. But we grew up there in Michigan. I remember this as a kid, being told we had three targets, and this is back during the Cold War, but there were three targets in Michigan that would be prime Soviet attacks. Detroit, because of the auto base, Flint, because of the auto base, and the Sioux Locks, which are, go between Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and Canada up there. And the reason for the Sioux Locks was, if you knocked out the Sioux Locks, you could knock out all the ships that would bring the iron ore from Minnesota and Wisconsin, stuff like that, down to the steel mills and, you know, in Cleveland and Pittsburgh and stuff like that.
That was all bullshit.
Well, no.
They were just telling you that.
Well, they may have been telling you that.
They're not going to drop a bomb on Michigan. Of all the spots.
Have you been back there lately?
That's way low
on the
list.
What has been dropped on it lately.
I don't think you made the top 20.
They were drinking a lot of Stoli. Oh, going, okay, tell them we're going to blow up Susan.
Yeah.
It's really sad to see what's happened. I mean, there were so many auto plants there and things like that.
Dude, I went through there in the 90s. Remember there was a meeting at Mackinac Island?
Yeah, Mackinac Island's beautiful.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, great place. And so, but we drove through Flint. So this was in the mid-90s. It sucked then.
It sucked from the mid-80s right on through.
That place was grim. I actually had to spend the night there. It was beyond grim. There's nothing to do there.
I left in 1989, but I will tell you this. Flint is responsible for producing many, many great basketball athletes, you know, players, football
recently?
Players. In the last 20 years. You know, Glenn Rice is from there. Andre Rison is from there.
Marcus Banks?
No, the Banks. the linebacker Banks? For the Giants. I'm missing his first name here right now.
Banky Banks?
No, not Banky.
Banky Banks is a reggae singer on Anguilla.
But
yeah,
no,
if you're ever in Anguilla, go see Banky Banks. Seriously,
they've had a lot of really good players from the Flint area. And it's like when Michigan State won the basketball title, like what, 4 or 5 years ago. I think three of the kids were from Flint. So
really,
yeah.
What makes them so tough in Flint?
Because there's nothing else to do. We used to do high school basketball games there. And and at that time, the Flint schools would always beat the Detroit schools. But it was great because when you did the games at the bigger arena in Flint at that time, you would have coaches, all the great college coaches from the Midwest, show up because everybody was trying to recruit these kids. I mean, they really had some phenomenal players.
Are you just making that up?
No, I'm not. I kid you not. I still have a play-by-play of me doing a basketball game, high school playoff basketball game with Flint Northwestern. And two of the players were Andre Rison and Glenn Rice. Yeah.
Was this before he became a pyromaniac?
Yeah, that was long before that.
Okay. Did you make some pithy comments like, this guy's got it, I think he's going to be a great player?
No, everybody knew they were going to be great.
It was pretty obvious.
They were very good. I'm trying to remember who else was on the team, but all five of them went on to star at the college level at Division I. I mean,
everybody knows. This is one of the many things that they've learned from listening for the last hour and a half is that two places that you may have overlooked to live or vacation are North Dakota and Flint, Michigan.
You can get a great deal on houses in Flint, Michigan right now.
I bet you can. They're really nice.
It really is sad. I mean, the people back there are nice and stuff, but it's just the area died.
Okay. You're okay with what the president did?
Yeah.
A little tough love there. Need to be done.
I wish people had done that sooner to GM.
Okay. Now, Mark, last question, last topic. The president is making his first trip to Europe. I think he just went to London. Do you think it's important what Europeans think of our president? Obviously, they didn't care much for Bush for 8 years, but does it really matter? I mean, he's our president. He's not theirs. Or is it important that we have a president that people respect? That's question one. Question two is he going to see his popularity slide, do you think? Over there.
As a result of his trip?
No, just in general, yeah.
Oh, I think, to answer your first question, I have a lot of friends, believe it or not, from India. A lot of engineers who have settled over here, live in our neighborhoods, and have become very good friends of ours. And I never really gave it much consideration in the international community and what the perception of what our global leaders were abroad until, you know, they made comments. And so I think that I think it is important to the degree of perception, because we're a global economy now. Mm-hmm. We went to Dubai about a year ago on a fundraising campaign, and just how we're intertwined, really, globally, politically, economically, it's amazing. So I think the perception is important, but clearly, like the campaign stop in Europe,
right.
You know,
his speech in Germany.
If nothing else, it's brilliant marketing. Yep. And I don't know that the other side had brilliant marketers.
Wait a minute. The last week of the campaign, I mentioned I got a telegram from the McCain campaign.
Help. Stop.
Stop. We are
need
losing.
Money. Stop. Going under
great.
Fast. Stop.
Stop.
The race last year was decided on June 3rd when the Democratic primary ended when Barack beat Hillary. The race was over at that point, effectively.
Stop.
It was.
Stop.
Race is
Labor
over.
Day. Stop. Pick Sarah Palin. Stop.
Stop. Momentum. Stop.
Well, it's like McCain was on Meet the Press this weekend, and David Gregory asked him, you know, will you support Sarah Palin in 2012? Yeah. And of course, you know, I want to see what the field is. John, 4 months ago, you were telling us this is the person who,
right.
the only person
president.
Who should replace you if something happens to you with president.
You may not have noticed this, but did you hear someone cue the dance music right before he started answering? You can tell when a politician's dancing.
Yeah, the Republicans have a real problem heading into 2012. They don't. Yes. The party is in disarray right now. John, yes. If John Boehner is your leader, crying Boehner, that's a problem. You know, Mitt Romney is clearly running, Huckabee is running, and things like
Huckabee,
this.
Huckabee, you ever seen that show?
You knew that show.
Unwatchable.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's not good. Yeah.
But they Maybe need Romney. Some young, bold, new, fresh face with new ideas to come forth. Otherwise,
Ken Bennett.
Ken Bennett, there
Ken
you go.
Ken Bennett, what do you think? Secretary of State.
Ken Bennett probably would do a better job than the...
I'd vote for him right now.
You yeah. would?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
He's not a homophobe. He's not going to bring up the gay issue. I'll vote for you.
But if Obama's at about 60% a year... year
I would vote for him over Barney Frank.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go.
Absolutely.
After the 2010 elections, if Obama has got the economy at least headed in the right direction and still at 6%, the Republicans are just going to find a sacrificial lamb.
Sarah Palin. Sorry.
Mm. You know, Sarah Palin, she's got negatives.
Well, so. We're
oh,
there.
Gee, she's out.
Gosh.
She's out. I'm a politician with negatives.
Oh, wow.
All that, right.
Yeah, how come Heidi Heitkamp, when we had her at early, didn't say, I can see Minnesota from my front porch?
Well, yeah, she's
yeah,
a little smarter.
Yeah, because she's smarter than that. Yeah.
She's a little smarter.
That's right.
All right. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And we'll have you back again sometime if you'll be nice enough to grace us with your presence one
Absolutely.
More time. And I think...
That's a show? That's
a show. That's a show. Now that's a show.